time for the Vintage Truth Podcast with best-selling author and Bible teacher, Jeff Kinley.
And it's episode 150 in the Vintage Truth Podcast. This is sort of a milestone in this podcast ministry. Very excited to have recorded 150 different episodes of this great ministry that God is using in over 56 countries across the world. And you know, countries are one thing, but people are really what's important, and you're one of those people. And so I appreciate you so much taking the time to listen into this podcast today. Hey, before we jump into today's topic in this little series that I'm about to begin, just to let you know that this podcast ministry is 100% funded by listeners and people who believe in the impact that this ministry is making across the country and across the world, and more importantly, in your own life. And so if this ministry has meant something to you, then I would encourage you to consider supporting it either on a monthly basis or with a one-time gift. And you can do that by going to jeffkinley.com and click on the donate tab. On that tab is also a physical mailing address. If you would like to mail a check, or if you want to set up a reoccurring payment in some way through our payment system, you can do any way that best suits you. But we appreciate you, really do. And again, this is 100% funded by you. And so I appreciate you being willing to do that. Hey, listen, I'm going to start a new series today called Dear Atheist. And you say, well, wait a minute, Jeff, what are you calling me an atheist here? No, that's not the point. Because I don't know that there are a lot of atheists that listen to Christian podcast ministries. But the reason I'm doing this is for you, to equip you, the Christian, the believer, in how to understand atheism and also how to combat it, how to talk to people who are professed atheists. You know, right now, there are more people in the United States identifying as non-religious, and I believe the Barna Research Group calls them the nuns, okay, not N-U-N-S, but N-O-N-E-S. In other words, they have no religious affiliation whatsoever. And atheism and agnosticism is actually greater than you might think in our country, because more and more people in our country are unchurched, and they're secularized. And so they've been duped by so many different things in our culture, not just the moral relativism that's in our culture that is consistent with atheism, but also the whole theory of evolution and believing in this, you know, this old earth. We've been around billions of years and that kind of thing. But anyway, the point being is that there are a lot of people that identify with this atheistic worldview. And so we want to make sure that you as a Christian understand that mindset, because we need to understand, like Paul did, his culture, so that we can effectively reach it and talk to it. So there are many things I'm going to talk about in this little series called Dear Atheists. And, you know, one of the things that I've found is that by and large, people, and this is people, all people, okay, most people don't really think that much these days. I mean, they emote, they feel, they project, they talk, they opine on things, they give their opinion, they do all these things, but they don't really think. And that's true of a lot, if not most, atheists. You know, to run into a thinking, honest atheist is a rare thing. And when you do, it's very refreshing, because at least you have someone who doesn't think they've figured out everything in the universe. So I want to talk about a lot of things about these atheists and the way they think. But I want to begin by just addressing the fact that there are people who do not believe there is a God, that there's a higher being up there, okay? And they many times will ridicule Christianity by saying that there is no such thing as the flying spaghetti monster up there in the sky, you know, type of thing. I don't know why they picked on spaghetti, you know, for that illustration. But I've experienced that in my own life. I was speaking at a convention one time, and this was a secular convention, and I was speaking there on behalf of my book, The Christian Zombie Killer's Handbook, which is a book about original sin and the sin nature in the Christian, and how do we combat it? How do we understand it? What do we do about it? And I just label this whole sin nature thing as the zombie within, you know, because it consumes us and it won't go away. And so I was being interviewed by this former columnist with the Seattle Times, and I was up in Seattle, Washington for this conference. And hundreds of people, there's 7,000 people at this conference, and this is a zombie conference, and there were several hundred at my seminar. And this guy began by introducing me and telling me that I was this author and et cetera, et cetera. And then he added, he said, I suppose that at some point in our question and answer time, Jeff will probably tell us about his imaginary friend, God. And so immediately I understood where this guy was coming from. And it was a wonderful conversation. And I ended up being able to share my testimony and to actually be able to agree with him on several things, but also create some doubt in his own mind, hopefully, as well, through the things that I said. So there are many people out there that identify as atheists or agnostics. So an atheist is someone who doesn't believe there's a God, okay? An agnostic is someone who says, I simply don't know. I'm unconvinced. I'm unsure. I have not, it's like the atheist is in a room with a closed door and the door is locked. And he's sort of, thrown away the key. That's how most atheists are, okay? But an agnostic is in a closed room, room with a closed door, but the door is unlocked. So at least there's an option there for the agnostic. And some people kind of waver back and forth, and that type of thing. There's a wide spectrum from atheist to agnostic, and people kind of float back and forth on that kind of thing. But most people, as I've found, have this sense of arrogance about their atheism. Now, as Christians, we can be confident, and I'll talk about this as we go through the series. As Christians, we can be confident about our faith, but we are never arrogant about our faith. And that's the thing that Peter made very clear, is that we give an answer concerning the hope that is within us, yet with meekness and with fear. And that means respect for the other person. And by the way, that was 1 Peter 3, verse 15. Some translations say, give an account for the hope that is within you, yet with gentleness and reverence. And I just have a little side note in my Bible. I've written out there in the margin, says, not a know-it-all, not a know-it-all. Okay? Because we don't know everything, but we can be confident about many things. With atheists, I have not met, to my knowledge, a lot of humble atheists. Most of them are very proud, very confident, sometimes very antagonistic. Sometimes they are prone to want to make fun of Christians because they think we believe in fairy tales type thing. And so there is sort of an arrogance about this, about many atheists. Now, how do you combat that? How do you talk to them about this idea that they are so arrogant? Well, let me give you a couple of ways that I think will be helpful to you. Number one is to say, let's just say John here is our atheist friend. One thing I would say to John is that, John, you would probably admit, if you're a thinking person, that you yourself cannot know 100% of everything. Okay, would you agree with that you can't know 100%? Think about all the knowledge that's in the world, all right? And how much of that knowledge do you actually know? Well, if you're honest, you would say, well, medicine, history, science, the arts, entertainment. I don't know everything. Okay, really, I know less than 1% of all the knowledge that's in the world, if you're really honest, okay? All right, so that's just an illustration. Now, let's back that up even further and take it to the universe. Do you have all knowledge of everything that is and everything that has been? Do you have all that knowledge? No, I don't, if he's honest. Do scientists have all knowledge of everything? Yeah, if he's a well-read person, he'll say, well, no, of course scientists don't. In fact, if you'll read even the most secular scientists who believe in the Big Bang theory, they still believe that the Big Bang originated from a mass of elements about the size of a grapefruit. And then you ask, well, where did the grapefruit size element combined elements come from to make this explosion that created the universe? You know what their answer is? I don't know. I don't have any idea. They have zero idea. Okay. So if you were to ask the atheists, you know, do you have all knowledge? They would have to say, no, all knowledge is kind of like, it's like an unending circle. And my knowledge is like an electron. Okay. So to my atheist friend, John, you don't have all knowledge, do you? No, I don't. Well, neither do you. Okay. We'll get to that. But you don't. So is it possible, theoretically, logically, that God himself could exist outside of your realm of knowledge? In other words, he exists, but you just don't know about him yet. Is that possible? And if he's honest, he'll have to say yes, because if he says, no, it's not possible, then he's claiming to have all knowledge. Then he's claiming to say, no, I know everything that is, I know everything that has been, I know everything that will be. I know I've been to the furthest corner of the universe, the furthest reaches of outer space, and I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, because I've been there, God's not there. Now, obviously, only a complete moron would make that kind of claim. I mean, literally, no one is going to say that. And even if, I mean, now we're getting really theoretical. Let's just say some guy says, all right, yeah, I've been to the outermost places in outer space. I've touched galaxies that are billions of light years away. I've been there physically. And when I was there, I didn't see God. And it's just like, you know, the first Russian cosmonaut that was sent in outer space, he actually said this. He said, I was in outer space. I didn't find God out there. So let's just say this guy went to the furthest, you know, reaches of the universe, and he says, well, I didn't find God there. Well, then you come back and say, well, maybe he wasn't there at the time. Maybe he was somewhere else. Maybe you just missed him by 5 minutes. You see, they can't claim all knowledge. Have you been there? No, of course you haven't been there. You haven't been to the outer reaches of outer space. You don't know where God is. You can't know everything 100%. And you don't have all knowledge. And then I would say this too. Upon what do you base your belief? Because all atheists will claim to have intellectual superiority over you as a Christian. They think they're smarter than you because they think they're appealing to science. So the question you ask them is, what do you base your confident belief that there is definitely no God? What do you base that on? Because if you don't base it on anything, then you're on the same level as someone who believes that, you know, a doorknob could cure cancer, or that by saying hocus pocus, you can make a dead relative appear from 50 years ago. I mean, that's not real. You can't do that. So what do you base your belief that there is no God on? Because really, you're gambling potentially with eternity and with your soul. And if there is a God, could be bad news for you. So what are you really basing this life worldview on that you are living your life with? And are you even consistent with that worldview, which we'll talk a little bit more about later? So those are some beginning questions that really kind of unveil a little bit of the arrogance of the atheist. Now, if they were honest in all these questions, you know what their answers would be? Their answers would be, you know, I don't know 100% there's no God. Well, if you don't know, if you don't fully believe 100% there's no God, you're not an atheist, you're an agnostic. Because agnostics, the word gnosis means knowledge, ah means no, so no knowledge means I don't know. So if you don't know for 100% that there is no God, you don't believe that 100% in your heart, then you are not an atheist, you are an agnostic. Now, if you're an atheist and you believe that 100%, then you're arrogant because you can't know everything. If you claim to know everything, you're even beyond arrogant, you're stupid. You just went, it's like twisting the cap on the top of a bottle, you know, it's like you twisted it so much, it just goes around in circle. You're back to moron now. You're like what the Bible says in Romans 1:22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And it's actually the Greek word moros, which we get our word moron from there, the word fool. So if he's honest, he has to say, I don't know 100%. I haven't been everywhere in the universe. I don't have all knowledge for all time about all things. So therefore, I'm really not an atheist. I'm really a pretend atheist. I'm really an agnostic. Okay? So that's where you begin, with the arrogance of the atheist. Now, that's the arrogance of the atheist. Now, let's kind of flip it for just a second, okay, just to be fair, and let's talk about sympathy with atheists for some of the reasons that they bring up as to why they don't believe God exists, because some people do actually have reasons. They have reasons why they don't believe in God. So what are some of them? Well, let me just give you some of them that have been told to me before. I'm sure there are many more, but I'll just give you a few, and we'll do as many as we can, and we'll pick it up next time. But some people say, well, I don't believe in God because you can't see him. He's invisible. Why do you believe in something that's invisible? I mean, how can you base your entire life on something you've never, ever seen, you've never touched, you never tasted, you never heard? He's invisible. Okay. All right. I'll go with that. Do you believe in love? Do you believe in justice? Do you believe in the power of forgiveness? Do you believe in any of those things? Well, you can't see those things either. Do you believe in electrons? You can't see those with your eyes, right? There's a lot of things that we believe in that we use in our lives that we can't see. But granted, I'll give them that, okay? He's invisible. Second reason they believe that there's no God is that they say he's uncaring. I mean, come on. If your God was, and we'll go get into this when we get into more arguments for the existence of God, but if your God is so real, A, if he's there, if he exists, B, if he's so loving and caring about his creation, then why doesn't he do anything about it? I mean, why is there so much evil and suffering and injustice in the world? And, the problem with that statement is that he's actually having to borrow concepts from a Judeo-Christian worldview in order to attack God. In other words, if there is no God, there is no injustice. There is no evil in the world. Now, there's suffering, but it doesn't have any meaning. So for someone to be, for a Jew to be killed during the Holocaust, and for, a cat to be tortured in the backyard, or for a baby to be murdered in its womb, there's no difference. There's no evil scale on that. For someone to cut you off in traffic is just as evil as anything else. You know why? Because there's no objective standard by which you judge that evil. Does that make sense? So you can't say that stealing a paperclip from work is not as bad as murdering your coworker in cold blood. Because if there's no God, there's no judge, there's no objective standard of morality, we're simply molecules in motion here. There's nothing by which we're going to be held accountable one day. And so we're just here, and then we cease to exist. We just go into oblivion. And there's this immaterial part of us is somehow basically just, electrons and neurons firing, and we're just, like I said, just molecules in motions. We're just electronic robots, basically. And there's no right or wrong. So if you're going to be consistent in that, you can't really say, well, why won't God do something about the evil and suffering? Well, I got news for you. Why are you blaming a God for evil and suffering when you don't believe that God exists? If you're an atheist, you need to find a new way to blame the world's problems, or how you see them. If you believe that there's evil in the world, you have a problem with that as an atheist. Because number one, who are you going to blame for it? And number two, by what standard do you call it evil? What is good? What is evil? There is no good. There is no evil. So for me to rob you, for me to, to burn your house to the ground, for a band of terrorists to rape your children, I mean, there's no good or evil in the world if you're an atheist. And that's the problem. And so, you've got a dilemma there as an atheist. But hey, we're going to give it to you. We're going to give it to you. There's evil. There's suffering in the world. I understand that. Why is God so absent? Why uncaring? Hey, we're going to pick up on this sympathy with the atheist next time on the Vintage Truth Podcast. Don't miss this. This is getting really good. I'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.